Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our first reading today comes from the first letter of John. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will see, what we will be, this has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when He is revealed, we will be like Him. For we will see Him as He is, and all who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. Our second lesson from the Gospel of Luke, we hear. While we were talking about this, Jesus Himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do you doubt? Your doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Yet for all their joy, they were still disbelieving and wondering. And he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and he ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the word of the God, for the people of God. Let us be blessed in our hearing.
Let us pray. O God, whose blessed Son made himself known to his disciples in the breaking of bread, open the eyes of our faith that we may behold him in all his redeeming work, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Well, it's the third Sunday of the Easter season, and yet in our scriptural narrative, we are still on Easter Sunday. In Luke's gospel, after the early morning at the empty tomb with Mary Magdalene and Simon Peter, Jesus next appears to two disciples who are leaving Jerusalem, and they're walking back to the village of Emmaus. Now, the disciples, they didn't recognize Jesus until they got home, invited him to stay with them as it was almost supper time, and Jesus broke bread. And as soon as he did this, Jesus disappeared, and the disciples' eyes were opened. And so they raced back to Jerusalem to tell the apostles. And when they walked in, this is where our story picks up. Raw with grief, afraid that the authorities would come after, be coming after them too, confused by all of this talk of the empty tomb. You can almost imagine the disciples and the apostles gathered in that upper room that they had rented for the holidays. Picture them sitting around the table talking to one another and wondering what's going on. And Jesus appears to them and is like, "Hey guys, pass the fish. I'm starving." Some days I wonder why we give the disciples such a hard time for not immediately believing the resurrection story. I mean, we've been given 2,000 years to process it. And here we, and we're generations removed from it. And so it's easier for us to believe it and understand it as one of the amazing mysteries of faith. It can be hard for us to put ourselves in the shoes of the disciples as they process this grief, this amazement in those early days. And then I wonder, did the last 4 or 5 years help us at all understand a little better? We've had so much happen individually, collectively, as a congregation, as a community, as a society. So much uncertainty, so much grief, so much to process between, and we had the pandemic, increasingly hostile political climate, we have the rising threat of climate change, we've had the turmoil in the church, we've had whatever other things are going on in your personal lives, just so much. And maybe you can identify with the disciples just a little bit better now that you've had these experiences. Instead of looking down at the disciples, maybe you find yourself identifying with them. Do you find it reassuring when Jesus walks the disciples through the scriptures, shows them everything that happened in God's kingdom? I sure do. Well, until anyway, Jesus tells us something. Jesus says, "You are witnesses." And then I start to squirm. You see, I noticed immediately when I was reading this, Jesus says, "You are witnesses." He doesn't say, "You will be witnesses," nor, "Will you please be witnesses?" or, "Consider being a witness if you have time." "You are witnesses," he says. Now, I want to make sure that we are on the same page as to what Jesus means by witnessing here. In this context, it's along the same lines of evangelism. Evangelize. Speak the good news. Or plainly, tell people about what we know and we experience. To what do you witness then? What are you supposed to tell people about? What does Jesus mean by these things? Perhaps it's the resurrection. Perhaps it's about God's unconditional and extravagant love for everyone. Perhaps it's the entirety of Jesus' ministry and teaching. I know, I can see you looking at me. We're New England Congregationalists. We don't do that kind of thing. We don't talk about our faith with others. That's between me and God. But you are witnesses, Jesus says. You already are a witness to your faith. Many times you don't know what it is you're supposed to be witnessing about. So sometimes you're so unsure of your steps in this world that you wait for some grand revelation about God to testify about. And then, until that happens, you're silent. Your silence is also a form of witness. When you don't say anything, when you look the other way, when you don't do anything, that can speak volumes. How often do you forget that your deeds and your words or your lack thereof are giving witness to how you imagine God to be? When you're silent, especially in the face of violence and injustice, you are denying the truth of who you are and who Jesus needs you to be. As Christians, you are never not giving a witness to God. In your silence, you are saying your faith doesn't matter that much. And that's the rub right there, because that's what makes me feel uncomfortable. Because you are witnesses is not only about who I am, but also about how others see God to be. You are witnesses gives witness to our own selves, our own faith, our own belief. When we claim the label Christian, everything we do or say or don't do or don't say reflects not only on us, but on God. That's the way it is. Now, often I know we are silent for what we believe to be valid reasons. Usually it's because maybe we don't know what to say or do, or we're scared. We tell ourselves we don't have the training. We haven't done the work to understand the issues. I'm blinded by my privilege. I'm scared of the repercussions. I'm afraid that what my friends or my coworkers will think if I called out their offense. I'm scared I'm going to do it wrong. Even in our Easter joy that God has swallowed up death, we're disbelieving and we still wonder how to keep going. Especially if we've been paying attention to the news. And I think this is where the disciples were emotionally in that upper room. While in their joy, the scriptures tell us they were still disbelieving and still wondering. And it's in this space that Jesus shows up. And that's the good news right there. It is into this space that Jesus shows up and reminds you that he gave you the authority to be a witness through the power of the Holy Spirit. And in our reading from 1 John, the author reminds you that you are a beloved child of God, no matter what. So what does witnessing look like in 2024? Well, let me tell you the story of Maya and Sam. Maya wasn't a preacher or a missionary or even worked in a church, but she radiated the love of Jesus in every encounter. Maya was a regular at the coffee shop. Since she worked remotely, she could go anywhere, and she enjoyed spending a few hours, a couple of days a week, working from the shop. It allowed her a change of scenery, allowed her to be with people, rather than at home in an empty home, empty house. Now, Sam, she was also a regular at the coffee shop. She's a stay-at-home mom, and Sam usually came in while her youngest was at preschool. For her, it was a chance to do something for herself. And what started as a friendly nod across the shop to a familiar face turned into saying hi, and over time, Maya and Sam began to share a table and conversation. And as they talked, Maya learned about Sam's struggles, her fears, her insecurities, her dreams. Sam confessed to being inadequate, this feeling of inadequacy and not being worthy enough for love. Maya shared her belief, which was rooted in her faith in Jesus, that no one is unworthy of love. She talked about how that came from her faith in Jesus. And so in time, Sam came to believe that she too was worthy of love. And Maya invited her to hang out on occasion, and they became good friends. Years later, Sam stood before a congregation not unlike ours and shared her story of transformation. Her story of how, because of Maya's witnessing to the love of God in Christ Jesus, Sam came to believe that she is lovable. Through Maya's simple acts of kindness and radical inclusion, Sam had encountered the living Christ and discovered a new purpose in life. And in sharing her story, she continued Maya's legacy of bearing witness to the good news of Jesus in a world that so desperately needs it. As we continue our stewardship campaign this month, because of us, that's our theme, right? Because of us, you will hear more stories of the ways our church has the power to transform lives for the better. We have so much good news to share. Why do we hide it? You are witnesses. Thanks be to God. Amen.